Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank all of you for coming this morning and joining us in our worship. And I for all those of you who are here, praise the Lord. And for all those who are joining us via live, either through YouTube or through video or Zoom, however you're joining us, may God bless you where you are at. This morning, I have, when I was driving here, I was experiencing the cold, and it was amazing that when I'm breathing in the car itself, you can see the smoke that is going on, and I was just thinking to myself how cold it is here, but in here when we worship, it was like the atmosphere completely changed and it became really warm. So I believe that the Spirit of God warms our hearts and helps us to experience, a special touch. I remember when Jemmy was holding the thermometer to scan everyone. Everyone's just beeping red, saying low, low, low. But then, later on when they came to church, they started heating them. I just use that as an example because I'm just saying, all of us are coming into the presence of God. When we experience the presence of God, God really transforms our temperature. He changes us to become more warm, to become more worship. And it's just maybe something that's physical, but it's also true in the spiritual realm. God changes our attitude within us. God makes us more grateful, and we are more grateful for what God has done. This psalm is a psalm about thanksgiving. It is a psalm about thanksgiving, Psalm 92. And its heading says, it's a song for the Sabbath day. This is the only psalm that is given this heading, a psalm for the Sabbath day. And so this psalm is a psalm that was designed for worship. Sabbath was the day of worship for the Jew. When they gathered together, they would worship on the Sabbath day. It is considered to be the Lord's day. So when people are gathering together on Sabbath, they usually sing this psalm, Psalm 92. This is from Psalm 90 to Psalm 106 is considered book 4 of the psalm. And this particular book is very Jewish in origin. It teaches of the journey that people are going from Egypt and going into the promised land. So we can resonate with the people who are experiencing this, the singing this psalm, because it is like they're going from this journey of slavery and reaching a place of freedom of in the promised land. We are people who are travelers ourselves. We are traveling who were once under the slave of sin, but walking towards the promised land in a land that is promised for us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So when we come together in worship, in the midst of our circumstances, because the life that the children of Israelites were going through the wilderness was not an easy life. It was difficult. They experienced pain. They experienced sorrow. They experienced famine. They experienced thirst. But in the midst of that, they realized that God is their provider. This psalm, when we read the first verse, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." From the very beginning, the Spirit of God has been telling me, we have to give thanks to God. Hallelujah. Our hearts should be filled with thanksgiving. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. When we come into the presence of the Lord, God is calling us to come with thanks. This is the attitude of worship. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, in everything give thanks because this is the will of God concerning you. When God wills this of his children, that we worship him with thanksgiving. So when we enter into the church this morning, as we gather on the Lord's day to worship him, the worship team, the praise team, lead us in a time of music. And that's how they rejoice. Later on in verses 3, you can see they're playing different kinds of instruments. They're playing the 10-string lute, harp with resounding music upon the lyre. So they're using musical instruments to worship and give thanks to the Lord. Another interesting thing there is to sing praises to your name, O Most High. I only say that it's interesting is because when our youth wrote that song, God from God, Light from Light, they used this God El Elyon, all right? This word saying, O Most High, is Elyon. That's the in Hebrew, the Lord Most High is the other word for saying El Elyon. And so this worship that we're giving to God, that we're saying He is the Most High. We were singing it this morning. His name is above all names. In Jesus' name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We were singing that because His name is above every other name. Children of God, when we gather together in worship, we have to come with an attitude of thanks. The reason why I'm saying that is because oftentimes, or actually maybe sometimes, I wouldn't say often, sometimes when we come into the presence of God, we come to receive rather than give. I want you to think about that. When you come to worship God, you come with an attitude to receive something rather than give. There's nothing wrong with that attitude to come with expectation to receive a touch from God. But that's your only attitude, that's wrong. If you're leaving church service and saying, I didn't receive anything today. You felt the worship experience, the drummer wasn't here. I didn't feel that experience today. Or something else. The music playing was too loud. I didn't receive that experience today. The people who were leading was not leading properly. The person who was preaching was not preaching. I didn't receive anything today. The problem with us, with that kind of mindset is, we're coming, instead of giving to God, we want to receive from Him. There's nothing wrong with that attitude to receive, but we should always come to God's presence more with an attitude, God, what can I bring to you? What can I offer to you? Of course, the answer is nothing. Nothing that we have is fit to worship our God. Does God require something from us? If we stop worshiping God, does God somehow lose His power? If we don't give tithes to God, does God's bank run dry? But sometimes we think about this and we think that, you know, sometimes when we might be even like a little bit upset with God, or it's like, God, I'm not going to give you tithe. I'm not going to give you thanks. I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I have a mask, no one will know. Or we will say, I'm not going to give testimony for you because you didn't do this and this and this for me. That is such a wrong attitude. God is always worthy of praise. He is always a good God. In every circumstance, God says, this is my will concerning you. Give thanks with a grateful heart. And we are to surrender our hearts to God. And verse 2, it says, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. So when the people come to worship, usually the people who worship on Sabbath, it's a 24 hour of worship. Meaning that they sleep too, but then it's a whole day dedicated for worshiping God. If you go to most Seventh-day Adventist churches, like we are in a Seventh-day Adventist church right now, the whole Sabbath day for them, which is from Friday night to the next day's sunset, they are constantly in one meeting after the other. Friday night, they have something called Vespers, which they gather together, and the youth will have a program, and the family has a program, and they sit together and worship. The next morning, they will have their Sabbath school, which is which is like our Sunday school on Sabbath school. They'll gather together. They have a notebook. They study the Word of God. Then they sit and they have their main service together. Then they go home or eat, or they come together and have potluck in their houses. Then they come back to church for a music program. And in the evening, they have adult youth program or another program. And the whole day is a day spent for worship. For us, if we sit 10 minutes more than our church service, oh my goodness. Our kanyi is boiling in the kitchen. Our stomachs are too hungry. We didn't get enough sleep last night. It's true. Some of these circumstances are true. I'm not belittling them. But I'm just saying, this is the attitude of the people in Jewish circles. On the Sabbath day, the whole day is a worship day. That 24 hours is dedicated to God and said, this is for you, God. This is for you. And for us, this thing is, in the morning and in the evening, they are just continuing with worship and praising God and singing. Verses 4, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. And in this next part, so this is the first four verses, and it is almost like an introduction. Verses 5 to 9 is talking about God's great works, his thoughts, how deep his thoughts are, and what he thinks about the wicked versus those who are righteous. And then we are going up, and it says that the people who are in sin, verses 7, when the wicked sprouted up like grass and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. Then this is something that we sometimes feel. We feel like these people who don't have our life, who don't have Jesus, sometimes seem to be living free, carefree, no problems, easy. But remember, the children of God are called to walk in the wilderness to reach the promised land. The promised land is where freedom is. When we are walking through the wilderness, you will see the kingdom of Og, the kingdom of Bashan. You will see the Amorites. You will see the Amalekites. You will see the Moabites. And all of them have a city. All of them are well established. And sometimes it can be a temptation. Why don't we settle here? Why can't we just stop? Why do we have to keep going? But God has given a vision. God has given us a destination. We are not called to settle here. Our possessions are for eternity. Our treasure is for eternity. So when you look for people who are setting up their treasures here, don't envy them. Have pity on them. Because we are receiving much more than what they have. They might build 5-star hotels. They might live in a resort. They might experience a big house, a big bank account. They might experience health and wealth and prosperity. But for us, the children of God, our home is not here. You know, when me and Barry, we live with my parents right now. So oftentimes when we start living with my parents and we say we want to buy something for our house, Betty keeps reminding me, we are going to move. We are going to move, so don't buy anything. So I've been hearing this for a while. Some of our boxes are still unpacked in the room, so it's there. It's like, we are going to move. Betty's listening probably right now and saying, why are you sharing this? You know, I'll go home and I'll get something from her. You know, but why I'm saying is that because we are always on the thinking that we are going to move, we don't want to buy anything for here. Does that make sense? We want to invest in something where we are going to live forever. That kind of mindset. When you come here as an immigrant, you live, most of us, we lived in a basement or a condo or some kind of experience where we are like, we are saving money for what? For an eternal house. A house where we don't have to move. And then we can buy. We are thinking of saving. So we don't want to spend unnecessarily. So we can get a house of our own with our name, with our property. That kind of mindset we must also have spiritually. Paul says we are tent dwellers here. We are living in temporary houses. Why would you spend all your resources for this temporary house? Save for the eternal house. Because where your heart is, there your treasure is. We are called to live for eternity. This world is not our home. We are living only for a moment. Amen. There's a song like that. And so I just want to remind us, the wicked around us might prosper. Let them. Unfortunately, that's all they can prosper. We are living with eternity in our mindset. Amen. People live 70, 80, 100, 120 years on earth. But when they go for eternity, what is that 100 years going to do? Nothing. I think about this because I recently, last week, I just turned 30 years old. Okay, so I had something of a little bit of an existential crisis. I think I was like, I may have lived at least one third or one fourth of my life. I'm calculating, you know, 4 times is 120. At max, 120. Maybe if I'm lucky, maybe 90. The way I'm living right now, it seems like maybe a little bit shorter. But that means at least between one third and one fourth, I have already lived one third or one fourth of my life. Maybe a little bit less than that. So when I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, what have I established? What have I done on this earth so far? And I compare myself with other people in the same age bracket as I am. And I'm thinking, look at other 30 years old. Look at the jobs they're earning. Look at the houses they built. Look at their family life. Look at this thing. And then I was talking to somebody on my birthday, and this person told me and messaged me. He said, Joel, you have such an important thing. You have your family. You have a loving family. You are very close together. You love Jesus. Jesus is the center. He carries and provides everything for you. You have nothing to worry about. And for a minute, I took back and the existential crisis went away. And I was like, yes, I have nothing to worry about. God provides for my everything. What I have is for eternity. So I don't have to compare myself. Comparing ourselves is normal. When we look at other people and see that they seem to be doing better than us, sometimes it is normal to feel a little bit hurt, a little bit down, a little bit bad. But in the midst of that, find reasons to thank God. Find reasons to be grateful for. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And then you will see what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. When you're going through that crisis, look around you. Look at the clothes you have. Look at what you possess. Look at your family. Look at your possessions. Look what God has given you. And just be, I'm happy. I'm blessed. And the biggest blessing is our name is in the book of life. That is the greatest blessing, that we have received salvation. I'm going to end this with the verse 12 to 15, I'll read that. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So I was looking up this idea of the palm tree or this cedar tree in Lebanon. Both these trees require a lot of nutrients to flourish. Palm trees require a lot of water and a lot of fertile soil, fertile earth. And so even the cedar in Lebanon is a very strong tree. And this is comparing between a righteous person, because the righteous person will flourish because they are planted in the house of the Lord. We are not planted here. Children of God, we are not planted on this earth. We are here temporarily. When our eyes are set on the eternal perspective, we will find reason to thank God even right now. See, the children of God who were going through the wilderness, they could have thanked God for providing them for sandals that did not wear out. They could have thanked God for providing for their needs, manna, heavenly bread, every day. They could have thanked God for the fire and the cloud that protects them in the day. But instead of that, they kept murmuring. They were finding reasons to complain. So their journey took longer and longer and longer and longer. But if the children of God were like Joshua and Caleb, it said, our God is with us. Nothing can stand against us. In the name of the Lord, we trust. Then, with thanksgiving, we will win over all the problems that come against our way. When you look with earthly eyes, you will see mountains. But when you look with heavenly eyes, in heavenly perspective, you will see God's provision. And that is what God is calling us to look at today. To focus on His provision, to focus on what He's done for us, rather than focusing on the other things that we need. So when we come to church, like how people came on the Sabbath day, let us come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Let us have a spirit of gratitude and gratefulness. There might be things that you might look at and say, here, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. But if we look with gratefulness, we will see God's provision. I'll end with one story. There was a, I think I may have shared this story before, but there was this group of Christians who were going in a van to go to a Christian conference. And when they went there, there was this girl who was in the van who was saying that, you know, like, oh, I really want to encounter God and experience God's provision. They went to the conference, and all the people who were attending the conference, the people who were sharing, were talking about mighty things that God has done in their life. Amazing, marvelous, miraculous things. And it was amazing. And all of the people there was like, wow, God is so amazing. God is so real. On the way back, so this is again a drive for them. They were going on their way back to go to their town. As they're going in the van, this girl is like, I know God has done amazing things for them, but God has not done anything amazing for me. I have not received anything amazing in my life. I don't feel like I have anything miraculous in my life. On the way they were going, and this van slipped on black ice. This was in Alberta, just imagine. All right, they slipped on black ice, and in between there was a ditch. They got into the ditch, and they were out, and the car was wrecked. The van was wrecked. It was in a bad condition. Thankfully, there were a group of people who were traveling in the same direction who gave them a lift. And these people were there at the conference too. So these people gave them a lift, and the tow truck came. They didn't have to worry about anything, not a single scratch on their body. And this girl is like, as I was saying, nothing marvelous happens for me. There is no miraculous things that happens in my life. Think about that. God just saved her life in the midst of a snowstorm. You know, it could have wrecked her life. But she's focusing on what she doesn't have when she compares her life to other people. Children of God, if we have eternal mindset, we will in every moment say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then we will have this habit of, you know, even when our car goes out of control, we will say, stotram, 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 hallelujah. But that's not just as like a fear reaction. It'll come out of a heart of gratefulness. I pray that that becomes our attitude. That becomes our life lesson. May God bless us with these words. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Father God, we need a spirit of gratefulness. Sometimes we take things for granted. Sometimes we look at other people's life and compare our life to theirs, and we feel like they're more prosperous than. They're flourishing. They're surviving. They're doing well. How come we as the children of God are struggling so much? But thank you, God, that we are on this journey only temporarily. At maximum, we will live 120 lives, 120 years. But during that time, God, you have promised that we will flourish because we are planted in the house of the Lord. We will produce fruit in old age. Our house is eternal. You are our rock. You are our shield. Help us to remember that and not be like the Israelites murmuring on the way. But Father, with hearts of thanksgiving, know that you are with us. You are fighting for us. And the enemy has been defeated. Jesus, you are victorious. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.